What are the outward and ordinary means whereby Christ communicateth to us the benefits of redemption? The outward and ordinary means whereby Christ communicateth to us the benefits of redemption are His ordinances, especially the Word, sacraments, and prayer, all which are made effectual to the elect for salvation.
This is question 88 of the Shorter Catechism, and we're in that section which addresses the application of God's salvation to us. We started with several questions ago the fact that every sin deserves the wrath and curse of God, and so after we've heard all that God's law requires of us, we're brought to see our sin. Seeing our sin, we're brought to see what it deserves, God's wrath. That leads us to the question, how do we escape His wrath and curse? And the Catechism says that God requires of us faith, repentance, and the diligent use of outward means. So we've been working our way through those three things. Question 88 gets to the third of those, namely, what we sometimes call the means of grace. Now, it may help us to break this down just a little bit. And first of all, to remind ourselves what we mean by the means. And I noted earlier that the means can refer to an instrument, a vehicle, you could say more generally, a way in which grace is communicated to us. So here is Christ. And here we are as people. And there are appointed ways in which Christ gives to us His grace. These are the means. Okay? Now, another thing that would be helpful is to realize that if this is addressing the question of means, the question of God's grace also needs to be addressed. Grace is not a commodity. What do I mean by that? Grace is, it's not something like you picture yourself here and there's this package of grace over here. And kind of like a bag of grain or a box of some sort. And you can get to the point where that is somehow, you know, transferred to you. Now you're holding this commodity called grace. That's, I think, not helpful. Actually, it's more like grace is actually having Christ Himself. So God, the grace of God is not in some way distinguished from or separated from the person of Christ, right? It's the influences of Christ upon our souls. And so the Catechism wants us to understand what those outward means are that God has chosen to use. And the answer that's given in one word are His ordinances, the ordinances of Christ. And they say especially the Word, the sacraments, and prayer. So these are vehicles, instruments that God employs. So the Word, this would include, of course, especially the preaching of God's Word, but it would also include reading, the singing of the Psalms, meditation on God's Word, memorization of God's Word, etc. So God's appointed these as the Word as means. So we have the preaching of the gospel. How will they hear? How will they believe unless they hear? And how will they hear unless a preacher is sent? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10. And so the word of the Lord is a means that the Lord uses to bring this gracious blessings of Christ to his people. Sacraments, of course, refers to the Lord's Supper and prayer. The Lord's Supper and baptism, which are the two sacraments of the New Testament. Now, they too are a means of grace. So baptism, for example, we baptize babies, and we don't believe that baptism itself saves them. We don't baptize them because we believe we know that they're already regenerate, but it is a means that God uses, and it's another means through which the gospel is brought home to covenant children, showing them their need to be washed from their sins and to be given the Holy Spirit and God's provision, who God is, making promises to them of these blessings. The Lord's Supper is given for the Lord's people. It's a means of maintaining communion with him, growing in grace. In the supper, Christ himself is given to us, and we feed upon him by faith, and we thereby grow in grace in the knowledge of him and increase in our sanctification. Prayer is also a means of grace. So prayer is not just some ritual, and we'll talk more extensively about prayer at the end of the Shorter Catechism. But it is, in fact, a means of grace. It's a means we call upon God, asking him to be and do certain things for us. And he's pleased to grant them an answer to prayer. And so it's a means of grace as well. In order to reinforce this point here, that grace is really having Christ, when God comes to us in his word, it's Christ who's coming to us. The sheep hear the voice of the shepherd and follow him. When we sit under the ministry of God's word, we're told that we need to mix our hearing with faith. We're actually receiving Christ in that word that is being preached. Christ himself is coming to us through the word. You think about the singing of the Psalms. We're told that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. Christ is present in that ordinance of his word in the singing of Psalms. So you can see my point about it being Christ coming to us. In the sacraments, we have the same thing. Christ is not corporally or carnally present. He's not physically present in the supper, but he is indeed present. He's present spiritually and really and truly. That Christ is as present in that supper as the bread and wine is. And so the Lord's people feed upon Christ. How? By faith. And they receive Christ by faith in the supper. And so you can see how these means of grace are actually the means of bringing Christ to us, and the communion and blessings that we have with him and in him. The Catechism goes on to speak about how all of the benefits of redemption that are found in Christ are communicated through these means, and we're told that they're made effectual. So what does that word mean, children? Effectual. Well, one way of saying it is they're made powerful, or they're made effective in the hearts of the elect. So we're told that they're made effectual to the elect. So there can be 5,000 people that sit under the preaching of God's word. Christ is being preached to them. Christ is coming in that ordinance. And the Holy Spirit accompanies the ordinance. And those who are elect receive the efficacy of these means. So the preaching of God's word is made effectual to the elect within the 10,000 people that are hearing. And they receive in that, therefore, all of the benefits that are being proclaimed in the preaching of God's word. And so you can think of it in terms of two sides of a coin, if you will. God's Spirit is indispensable, right? We have We have the outward means, which includes these things. So we'll say, for example, the Word of God as it is being preached. And then we have the inward efficacy, which is made possible by the Holy Spirit. And both of these, the Word and the Spirit, have to always be held together. This is a very important kind of fundamental concept within Reformed theology. The Word and the Spirit have to be held together. We don't just dispose of the Word of God and the Spirit's going to work somehow independently in the souls of men. No, we're Word-centered. But at the same time, we don't say, well, we have the Word and the Word is all that's needed. We need the Holy Spirit to accompany that Word. God's sovereign Spirit makes it effectual within the souls of His people. And so you have God's Spirit at work. You could say that on man's side, you have man's faith. So man is being called upon to believe what they hear preached. Now, of course, it's true that man's faith is actually given by God as well. It is something given by God, by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, in the preaching of His Word. And so you have God's Spirit making that Word efficacious to us. So you can think in terms of the Spirit being at work through the means that God's appointed, and what happens? When that Spirit is at work, we have the means, for example, the Word of God being preached, plus the Holy Spirit giving faith, so that our hearing is being mixed with faith, and this results in fruit. It results in the effectual nature bringing about or producing within God's people that which is needed. So there's a sense within the Bible, there's a sense in which two things are both being emphasized. The means of grace is being emphasized. So in the biblical New Testament church, there was a tremendous amount of emphasis on the ordinances that God appointed, right? And churches that are seeking to walk faithfully in God's Word also have a tremendous amount of emphasis on those ordinances. So rather than being, for example, program-driven, where people think of church as this social entity, and you have all these little subcultures within the church, and there are programs that are provided to address the needs and interests of various people and so on. In a classical Reformed church and in the Bible, there's an emphasis on the means of grace. So it is centered on God's ordinances, the preaching of God's Word, reading of God's Word, prayer, the sacraments, the singing of the psalms. These are the focal point because these are the means that God's appointed that He will use. He didn't give us any promises that He will bless puppet shows to bring about the salvation of sinners or the building up of His people. There's no promise in God's Word for that. It would be presumptuous for us to act contrary to that. He has given promises to bless His own ordinances. And so the life of the church should be oriented around these appointed means of grace that God has given. We want to emphasize what God is emphasizing. But then secondly, there has to be an emphasis as well upon the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. So we're not just formalists, right? We're not like the high church people who have all their rituals and they just go through these rituals and so on. But rather, we're recognizing we desperately need the Spirit to bless the means. You know, one of the Puritans said that the means of grace are the bucket that we put down into the well, out of which we pull up Christ. So Christ comes to us through these means. We need the Spirit's blessing to make them effectual. And so we're coming, as it were, to the Lord through His appointed means, and we're praying, Lord, give Your Holy Spirit The Spirit has to be present in the preaching and reading of God's Word, the singing of His psalms. He has to be present in the sacraments. He has to be present praying in our prayers, praying in the Spirit, by the Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to come and to bless the means that He's appointed. And so we're seeking God to send His Holy Spirit to accompany these means, to make them effectual in the elect and in the hearts of his people. And so those things are held together as a dual emphasis, if you will. Question 88. What are the outward means whereby Christ communicateth to us the benefits of redemption? The outward and ordinary means whereby Christ communicateth to us the benefits of redemption are His ordinances, especially the Word, sacraments, and prayer, all which are made effectual to the elect for salvation.